Now let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts always be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Now today's epistle from 1 John is all about love. And in the words of the Beatles song, love is all you need. But the love we encounter in today's passage is far, far greater, far, far deeper, and far more powerful than any love the Beatles sang about back in the 1960s. It is the love of God. This text explores the scope of God's love and what it means for us. It shows how God's love is revealed. It shows how it is displayed through Jesus Christ, and it shows how it transforms those who receive it. And so there are three points I'd like to bring out from this passage. The first is how God's love is revealed to us. Two verses especially highlight how God shows us his life. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 19 towards the end, we love because he first loved us. What is it that makes these verses so significant? It's that they show the initiative of God. Who loved first? God did. This matters because it reminds us that God is not passive. He doesn't stand far off and leave humanity to find its own way back to him. Instead, he actively pursues, redeems, and restores his people. We can see this pattern throughout Scripture. With Noah and the ark, God took the initiative. With Abraham and the covenant, God took the initiative. With Moses and the burning bush, once again, God took the initiative. As we trace this pattern through the Old Testament, we see that God's active love ultimately points forward to the sacrificial work of Jesus on the cross. The second point this passage brings out is this, how God's love was displayed through Jesus Christ. With God's initiative in mind, we can better appreciate how his love is displayed through Jesus. So in verse 9 near the beginning, John writes, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. God's love was made known through the death Jesus willingly endured, and through the life we now receive because of him. Christ's atoning sacrifice brought forgiveness for our sins and reconciliation with God. What makes this love so astonishing is that God was under no obligation to save us. He didn't have to send his Son, yet he chose to do so willingly. God loved first, even when humanity did not love him in return. And the cross shows that God's love is not merely sentimental or emotional. It's sacrificial. It costs something. It costs a lot. God's love moves towards broken people with grace and mercy. And thirdly, this passage shows that God's love transforms and changes us. God's love doesn't leave us unchanged. It says near the beginning in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And at the end in verses 20 and 21, John writes, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also, and also, of course, his sister. God's love is not passive, and neither is its effect on us. His love drives us, his love transforms us, and his love changes the way we live. If we know God, his love compels us to love one another, to care for our brothers and sisters, and to reflect the character of Christ in our relationships, not like the rich man in our gospel reading who left Lazarus starving. Because of God's perfect love, we can approach him with confidence rather than fear. His love reshapes our hearts and teaches us to live more like Jesus. If God was willing to take the initiative to love and sacrifice for people who are undeserving, then surely we too can take the initiative in loving others. So, what might that look like today? What does it mean to take initiative in loving? It could mean supporting a friend going through a mental health crisis, or seeking reconciliation with a difficult neighbour, or reaching out to a family member with very different political views. Sometimes love looks small and simple, asking someone how they're doing and truly listening. Other times it requires humility and courage, offering an apology, seeking reconciliation, or forgiving someone who has hurt us badly. We do not love because we're obliged to. We love God. We love because God first loved us, and his love now compels us to act. If we follow Jesus, we follow a God who took the initiative to give his one and only Son for the sake of humanity. That truth should not only comfort us, it should transform us. And as we are transformed by God's love, we're called to take the initiative in loving others as well. So let's pray. Lord, may the love that you have showered upon us be real in our lives, so that we may love one another and care for the world around us. Amen.